American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, August 20th, 2007. And this would be Newsreel, it would be, unless, you know, it was something else you were listening to. But, you know, I just have a tendency of saying would be, you know, is that
just
a,
so you know.
Is that a
right?
Verb? What is that? Would be is it an adverb?
Be.
Is it a...
To be.
Out of Portuguese, irregular verb. You are listening to Newsreel, the Wall Global Sit Rep for Care Political, Tyranny Technology, and Transfer Your Headspace and Timing. I think I forgot to breathe.
I think so.
I was like, wow, I'm running out of air, and I just have to keep talking. RAM Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. Well, you're helping. You're helping, even though, you know, even if you just think about it, right? Thought crimes are coming.
That's right.
You know, and we are psychosis.
They're only a year away.
That's
be
right.
Prepared.
But there's another voice. The other voice who's with me on this particular episode of Newsreel, which I'm sure you've probably figured out by now, unless this is your first Newsreel, is the mind behind Rant Radio, Cimmerian.
Good
Rant
afternoon.
Media.
Good morning.
Jeez, yeah, it's Rant Media now.
That's right.
Yeah, you're big time. It's not just me anymore.
It's not just the radio.
Yeah.
There's like books and stuff.
Yeah, there's books and
videos and
shows and crazy Wikipedia entries and all kinds of stuff out there. If you would like to verify my facts and check everything out, go to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. Free podcast, radio, hear it on Rant Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch, W1Y Media Network, KJAC Radio, Pure Rock Radio, and anywhere where free thinking is heard. Now, let's talk.
I was spotted the other day.
What?
At an industrial concert.
You got spotted?
Some guy.
You're
came
like,
up
you're
to
Cimmerian.
Exactly.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Are you Cimmerian? I'm a big patrolling fan.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So they must have been
cool.
Like,
a guy
hi.
Named, guy named Jay.
Not too close.
Yeah, Jay. Just an initial. That's all.
I'm Jay.
I don't know if he
like
listens Q, to this show.
Only it's Jay.
He may not listen to this show.
I'm sure he does.
We've never. He's in the area. We've never met him.
Well,
that
no,
was crazy.
It's weird when you meet people who like know stuff about you. You know, like at work.
It is
right. I work in this crazy place where it looks like NASA, and the water guy comes through there, and the water guy holding the water bottles. Which you don't fuck with the water guy, okay? He is a tough looking dude.
Did like he's say got. Do you say the water is safe, sir?
No. He's just like pretty much, and he comes through, and he looks at me, and he goes, "Hey." And he kind of nods at me, you know, because it's like he wants to ask, but he doesn't know if to shoot. Because I'm in a work environment here.
Yeah, right? You got to be.
Right? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, oh, hey. And he gives me like the nod. And everybody's watching the water guy because he like totally picks me out. He's like, hey. And I'm like, hey. He's like, oh, yeah, and he gets it. You know, totally, you know, if, like, one
unspoken.
Narc ratting out the other narc, right? And I've got, like, you know, all these corporate guys going, why does the water guy know who he is? And they were doing a commercial. This is really funny. They were doing a commercial, right, in the Network Operations Center.
Oh, really?
And they had the camera in there, and they were filming. And
you
I'm
told
like,
me it's good.
What's that?
You told me it looks pretty impressive.
It is impressive looking where I work. Wow. Yes, the new place I work looks nice.
Yeah. Hence a commercial being filmed.
Yeah,
there.
So they're filming in there. And they're like, okay, we're just going to get you guys in the shot. And I'm like, I don't want to be in the shot. No. Right? Really don't want to be in the shot. So I like jump
Turn
out
your
of
back.
The. Yeah. So, I get out of there.
Okay.
I'm like, I got to go and I go.
Work
do
to do.
Got work to do. I've got to run around and polish fiber or something. I don't know.
Makes it faster.
Get it the hell away from me. Yeah. So now it does. 2.
Now the ones flow faster.
Ooh, very good. Yeah. There's no blockage, no binary blockage. So, speaking of which, so they came, so I hid from that, but where were we talking about? We were talking about that, the water guy, right? The Fight Club thing, so you got spotted.
At an industrial show, went to Combi Christ and Imperative Reaction.
Oh, that sounds like a good bill.
Amazing.
Yeah, good show.
Amazing.
Good show.
Took the wife.
Took the Wi-Fi. You're openly talking about the Wi-Fi now.
Yes.
Okay. What is known? What is posted?
That's it. That's all.
That's it? That's all? That's this is the first show that anyone's ever talked about the wife, or what?
A little bit in the IRC.
I can hear teenage hearts breaking, secret cutters everywhere, sharpening the knives, or what's going on here? Like, I've been nice. I've laid back.
Yeah.
Because normally, I mean, in the past, I've been vicious. Viciously brutal, like always talking about chicks. I mean, don't listen to the archives. That's all I got to say.
It's like,
you know, yeah.
Yes,
she's in the room. Yeah, don't tell anyone.
Yes, I'm engaged.
Yes.
To be married next year.
To be married next year. Unless, you know, something crowish happens. You know?
That's right. On Halloween is coming up city's burning. And
yeah, Devil's Night. That's a great movie, The Crow.
It is.
Isn't that movie great? I was thinking about that on the way out here. I'm like, damn,
sad.
I want to come over and watch The Crow on your TV.
It's a very sad movie.
It's a sad movie, kind of, but it's lots of vengeance and anger. And like people be like, when I think of, like, goth, I think of, like, The Crow, right? I don't think of, The Crow is not emo.
No.
Okay, but for all intents and purposes, it's got all the color coding and everything else. Like, The Crow is a little bit more Insane Clown Posse than it is emo. You know, makeup does not the emo make, you know? Mm-hmm. And so,
a very cool looking bad guy.
Oh, a bunch of them. Yeah. I mean, and Lord Nikon from Hackers.
They're actually
played
pretty bad guys.
Yeah, they were great bad guys. And the actors did a fantastic job. Yeah. You know, and they were a good bad guy crew. One guy looked like Charles Manson there, and the quotes are magic. Good movie. If you haven't seen The Crow, recommend it. Get The Crow. I know people got tattoos because of that movie.
Really?
Yeah,
it's a buddy. Powerful movie.
It is. And it was, plus, you know, with Brandon Lee.
Yeah.
Right? You know, final movie. Right? Yeah. That whole thing. Very, very pinnacle film.
Yeah.
You know what I wanted to, I was cruising around on the internet the other day. That's just a bad segue. Like Silver Surfer. Only I'm on a mouse. And it's like.
He was e-surfing.
I was e-surfing. I was, you know. Traveling the blogosphere when all of a sudden and with no warning I ran across the Angry Shirts website, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And everybody makes web
shirts.
T-shirts these days. No, you can't.
They
you go
do,
to Cafe
everywhere.
Press. But you know, there's some like angryshirts.com has been with us since pretty much the early days.
Yeah.
When we needed guys to make shirts and you know where to go there. And they're probably, you know, after going to DEF CON, I saw a lot of vendors selling shirts there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lots.
And I honestly believe that the Angry Shirts are better shirts than the ones I see at these cons. And that's not just a plug because we know the guys who run the site and
they happen to sell our shirts.
You know, a guy who runs the site and Capone.
Yeah.
Capone X runs Angry Shirts. And
no, Nexter. Sorry.
Nexter.
Capone X designs some of the shirts.
Right.
So
sorry, Nexter. Sorry, bud. He's been up here. We've had dinner with the guy.
Yep,
I was hoping that James would jump in and save me with his name, but he didn't. He's like,
sorry.
Twisting in the wind.
But yeah, they're actually really
They're amazing.
Shirts.
So if you guys, if anyone who wants to be, you know, have the Elite Mad Crew gear, whatever, I mean, not to promote. Is this an ad? We know Nexter. And you know
he's
what?
Our
the
buddy.
Guy. He's a buddy of ours, and he makes good shirts.
Yep.
And some of them are pretty damn funny. And he still does sell, you know, I don't know how many he sells. I'd be interested to know how many he sells. But they do have the After Now shirts where you can get, like, the Server Monk prayer on the back of the shirt and everything, which is pretty
cool.
If you guys, for all the After Now fans out there, because he's probably, unless you buy them, they're not going to exist anymore. And somebody else will take them. So, you know, I'd like to see, no matter what After Now memorabilia comes out, I'd like Angry Shirts to make it because I know them.
Yeah.
And even we might make another $4 with Mass. We don't care. We don't care about Mass distribution. We'd rather just have a guy we know. And this really does feed his family. So, you know, go buy a T-shirt. If you're going to go buy a T-shirt, go buy an Angry Shirt because he's got some funny shit.
Oh, they're really
nice. And you
nice
can get
designs.
Stuff on clearance over there for like $5. And I'm like, dude, I would wear one of those T-shirts. That's like the T-shirt, like at cost, is probably a $12 shirt.
Oh, yeah. They're thick.
Like
yeah, they're nice.
They stop bullets. They do. Yeah, they do. Don't.
Wear it in a gunfight.
Sure. Well, that's
you'll
the big
survive.
Thing. Does it stop a bullet? Well, okay. I need you to define what a bullet is for me. You know,
exactly.
I can catch
how
a bullet with
a
my
bullet?
Hand if I load it wrong. You know? Stop a bullet. It'll stop a bullet.
A BB.
Fuck, I hate that. You know, that's like Mythbusters. Some of those guys just piss me off.
Yeah.
But, yeah, in case you haven't been over to Angry Shirts, go check it out. Go talk about it. Angry Shirts is a good bunch of guys. So just swing by there and go buy yourself a shirt. Or recommend it to people because, you know, they're buddies and we need them.
Another recommended media.
Which is
the movie we're going to see tonight.
Oh, are we going to talk about that?
Sure.
Okay, well, the recommended media, of course, is Terminal City Ricochet.
Yes.
which I'm not going to say where I got this from, okay, but I got a copy. And to the dude who got me the copy, who, believe you me, he came halfway around the world to get me a copy of this thing, yeah. Okay?
It's and rare.
It's rare.
Rarer than rare.
I think Sim put it best when Sim has spoken with two people in the movie.
The star of the movie,
and one of the co-stars of the movie, and neither one of them had a copy of the movie. Okay,
so that's how rare it is.
This movie is psychotically rare.
One of them was Jello by Afra.
Yeah, and the other one was
Joey Shithead from right. DOA.
Right. So, and they don't have copies of the movie, at least that they're willing to show anybody.
Yeah.
And the movie is not, you know, fantastic. I mean, it's totally punk. It's the most punkest movie ever.
Yeah.
You know, oh, yeah. But I can't talk about it because Sim has not seen it. I have seen the film in my travels because I'm, you know.
You can't buy it on VHS or DVD.
It cannot
Never
be acquired.
Never existed.
Yeah.
It's in litigation limbo for the past 15 years.
Yeah, but.
It came out in 1990.
Now that we've found it, though, I'm sure that other people will be able to find it, you know, I would think. You know, so I'm sure that because, like, I didn't get the only copy that was floating
There's actually
around.
A torrent.
Is there?
But it's stuck on 50%. I was just trying it to see if it came
down the pipe. Oh, I see.
But it happens to be the exact same one.
Oh, yeah, does it?
That you brought.
Oh, it is.
Therefore,
so we have the full version.
It might go up to
perhaps
higher than 50%.
And with all the WOGs out there, I'm pretty sure that the peering networks will probably get quite large. And finally people will be able to see this film. So...
Seek and you shall find.
Seek and you shall
seek.
Do you know what quote that's from?
No.
That's pretty vague.
No.
Imagine Darth Vader saying seek. That's the quote. I can't do the voice.
Okay.
Can't do the voice.
Is it James Earl Jones doing
this? It is James Earl Jones. Yeah, it's James Earl Jones saying
seek. What else has he done?
Well, you can drill down now. Now you've given it away. Because all you got to do is check out the movies James Earl Jones has done. Which one? It's from Conan.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right, where he whispers it to the snake before he, like, fires it out of the bow. Yeah, I know. I'm brutal. All right, let's get on with the show here.
Which is another fun movie.
Conan?
Fun.
Fun. You know who looks rough? Take a picture of Brigitte Nielsen and Jane Seymour and put them side by side. Jane Seymour is 10 years older than Brigitte Nielsen. Jane Seymour, right. Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
Okay.
Hottie redhead.
No? Never watched the show.
Really long hair.
Okay.
Okay, Brigitte Nielsen's at Beverly Hills Cop tall, you know,
I know her.
Aryan Dyke chick, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's totally like, yeah, but she looks like hard math these days, man. Like she's in, wow, I'm like, dude. Rough. Well, she was nailing Flavor Flav apparently for a while.
Oh, yeah, right? Brigitte Nielsen, yeah.
She's
on all the TV shows.
Yeah, it's pretty sad to see, you know, the star she's fall that rough. Hard, you know. Yeah, she's looking pretty rough. You know, I feel bad. It's like, I got a soft spot in my heart for these people. You know, I do. Okay, let's get some feedback. There's women in the room. Okay, hey, Sean. So I've heard you rant a couple times about how your distaste for the word pimp is being used as something cool in a culture's in the current lexicon. You've said this angers you because the exploitation of people for profit shouldn't have a cool association.
Yes.
However, I honestly think that saying that it is the same thing as watching South Park and lamenting for the fact they say sweet all the time is supporting children eating a lot of candy. Subsequently, pissing off all the world's diabetics and dentists. Children will always create their way of saying things. It's the safest way to exercise independence, rebellion from their parents, and a safe, non-specific enemy, like their parents' generation. However, it's pretty intense. No one that says pimp actually sees an image of a pimp or anything to do with selling sex with women for profit. The same as sweep, and it is simply a word for cool. Besides, you have supported cursing in the past. Now, this is great. It's like a political statement. Besides, Mr. Kennedy, you have supported cursing in the past.
We're going to roll the tape from 1996.
Roll that 1970 under the argument that, hey, they're just words. But a motherfucker is a gross-ass image for anyone to imagine unless you are, in fact, a motherfucker. And that is just as illegal as pimping or and arguably grosser. Which has got a point.
Yes.
He's got a point, which leads me back to that whole swearing thing.
Yes.
Like, a pimp, motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like, you got to look at that and say, is that... I've got a really funny end of line, by the way, on today's show. This hardcore rap song called Read a Book.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really funny. And he's like, brush your teeth, nigga. Brush your teeth. And it's like really, really funny. Where do deodorant? You know, it's
the video is pretty good, too.
Yeah, have you seen it? You know the one I'm talking about? Yeah, it's pretty funny stuff. So That's if you click on the end of line on my live journal. I've got some good stuff on my live journal. Another one I should tell you about this. See, normally I don't talk about what's going on in the live journal because I don't know.
It's
but
a surprise. I
have it. I have it.
Ah.
There's a guy took a remote control helicopter. Meh. Put a shotgun on it. Meh. Throw
what?
Some telepresence, and now we got a flying shotgun. Woo! Now let's make that thing non-lethal so it's legal, and we'll put the new taser bullets in it. So it's a shotgun firing tasers out of the sky. Hunter killer taser droid.
Oh,
which,
my God.
Oh, yeah.
Watch out for the helicopters.
And they got taser claymores, too. So now, with the SWORD program sending robots into Iraq with machine guns on them, for riot control, it's got non-lethal weapons. Hell, it's not even a weapon. It's a pacification device for the protesters. Unleash the robots on the people. That's
wow.
Oh, if you don't think that's coming, I prophesy on this show that'll be coming down in the next major electoral scam. You'll have robots, UAVs,
the next
and
protest,
shit.
There's going to be a line of robots coming towards the protesters.
Fair ball. Yeah. I've got a job for a DEF CON presentation next year. Let's talk about counter robots.
There you go.
Hey, yeah. Mr. Army guys, you guys think you're funny? That's really cool. We can hack your systems normally, but if you want to send robots at us, that's cool. We'll send robots at you. We are so going to win. Like Robot Wars,
little
a whole
tiny
new dimension.
Fast ones that run on wheels.
You could totally make like a short film about that. You have this protest, people are angry, and all of a sudden this robot comes out and starts like totally just mopping on people, and all of a sudden another robot is standing there, and the people all span back, and the two robots square off, and you can get like the
fight.
Music fighting going, and like the protester robot versus the cop robot. You could have like a totally,
that's nice.
You know, oh yeah, yeah. I mean, you put Aphex Twin doing the video for that, and throw James Cameron doing the, you know, slow mo shot. And, oh yeah, you could do some great cinematography. We'll watch that. Because you know there are people who work for film agencies who do nothing but farm the internet for ideas.
Oh,
and guys,
yeah.
Like, I've watched three or four films and concepts that I've come up with that are so close. I'm
just
like,
change it subtly so it's not quite the same.
Well, not only, like DEF CON. Look at DEF CON, for example. They quoted my interview with Priest on the DEF CON, on Wired. Wired quoted me directly.
All over the place. Yeah,
No credit, but, you know, whatever. Not that I care, but that's just as evidence. You know, if you were to take this tracker and throw it out there and see where it goes, you'd be surprised. Because it is the beast that must be fed. It is the beast that must be fed. The media is the beast that must be fed. So they will report on something.
Yep.
So all you got to do is make a little bit of noise, and eventually the beast will eat it.
They'll pick it up. Yeah.
If it's a slow day and they don't got enough food, well, guess what? Little Timmy gets stuck in the well. Those little shits are falling out wells every day. Nobody gives a hell. You know?
It's
so
epidemic.
What? So the kid can spell.
The
Who
summer
cares?
Of the wells.
Yeah, it's the summer of the spelling bee. You know what I mean? Anyway, and now it's time for you to chime in. I'm sure you may have heard the previous episode where I talked about the one world government. I said, what was your view on the one world government? You know, it seems like going to be like, I don't know shit about it. Don't do this, man. No, but seriously, like the one world government. We were talking about one world government. Whether
or not
a one world government.
I don't watch Alex Jones. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, is a one world government a good thing or a bad thing? That's what I put out on the show.
Okay.
Is it inevitable?
You like it.
No, I don't necessarily like it. I'm not sure. I just think it's inevitable. Eventually, Darwinian sort of procedures of government stuff is that the more will require more and will be taken over, and eventually it's going to wind up being one world.
Right.
Like, it's going to be, maybe it may not be in the next 5 years, may not be in the next 50 years. It could be the dystopian far future. I don't know. But this is, I think that's probably inevitable. Because you look at the countries have gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and now we've got superpowers, hyperpowers.
It's like European Union.
Yeah,
that's
but
all.
That's still one country, right? And then all you're doing is you're just slowing down the process, right? Manifest Destiny is going to occur in North America, which, let's be real, if Mexico, Canada, and South America all became, and United States, all became one nation, I mean, the world may as well be under one government. Because, I mean, you know, come on, give me a break here, okay? Largest land, it'll be the largest country in the world, blah, 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 right? So I put that out there. I got some feedback. Hey, Sean, my thoughts are as follows on the one world government thing. I live in a relatively nice place without hideously corrupt government. The U.S. That's a good one right there. I thought of this government as expanding the rest of the world is terrifying. One might argue that it already has, but if a significantly less corrupt government could be maintained, historically unlikely, I'd be pretty happy about a non-corrupt one-world government. Well, eventually that will become corrupt because of the nature of humans.
Yeah.
No matter how perfect it is, you've got the human variable in there. Although it should be noted that in the Star Trek, the first time I heard you mention as a one-world government and a positive life was a reference to Star Trek, which is true.
Is it?
The United Federation of Planets? Oh, shit, yeah.
Well, it's more than just
Earth.
Oh,
yeah. like if you were to take the Star Trek vision of how the planets are, they are terrifying. They're like a media spin away from Warhammer 40K. Oh yeah, well when you think about the Borg, yeah. Right? Like when we were in Vegas, we went and saw the Star Trek Experience, which was fun. You know, whatever. I dig that. Fun. So I nerded out. Why not? Except for those guys drinking. There's this couple, and they had two of these warp core breaches. Okay, there's like
they were out of control.
10 ounces of hard liquor per glass of the stuff. Illegal to serve to one person.
Yeah, it's too much for one person.
No, it's like 15 ounces. It was like either 15.
No, it was,
or it 10,
was
10.
Was
it 10?
It was 10.
10 ounces of hard liquor, but there's two of them.
Yeah,
and
so
they're not. You know, ginormous fat no. Americans. Like, the guy was a pretty big guy.
Yeah.
But he looked like, could have, you know, he normal-ish, probably could chase you, know. You a little bit, you know. And the chick looked normal.
Yeah.
Right? Like, she was fine. All the women always get mad because I get all kinds of shit from people saying, all women chicks all the time. The woman, the noble female, was only mildly pudgy. And she had, like, 10 ounces of alcohol herself. You know what I mean?
Well, they had two.
They were sitting there when we got there. It might have been their third and fourth one. We don't know.
They didn't move. They just kept
down. I think they got up and took a piss. And you know, when you drink two warp core breaches, man, people are watching you when you're going for the shitter.
20 ounces between them of liquor. And you can guarantee he had more.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's all bubbling with dry ice and stuff, you know. Whatever. My wife had four of them. But she can drink.
40 ounces.
She can drink. Dear Sean, you posed a question. Well, she's married to me, right? I mean, that's got to be. Got to brush your teeth with the vodka for that one. Dear Sean, you posed a question during one of your recent broadcasts. Why would a one world government be a bad thing? Did I finish the last one?
No.
I didn't, did I?
No, you did. You started.
I totally skipped out on it. Sorry, dude.
Tangent.
Let's go back. Star Trek. Although it should be noted, Star Trek, first time I remember, blah, blah, blah. The Star Trek Earth didn't have a one world government until they initiated contact with the Vulcans. Okay, well now we're going to get into deep Star Trek.
So we need an enemy.
That was from Malkin. No. The Vulcans are cool, except for the fact they're essentially robots. And Borg. That's the other thing, is I think the Borg are great. I mean, all the Borg need is a marketing strategy. Obviously, the Borg never encountered a planet that had marketing before, because they would have showed up.
That's right.
And instead of being a cube, it would have been like a discotheque. There would have been like porn stars would have like teamed aboard the alien ship. Join the Borg. Prepare to be assimilated. People would be like lining up for that shit. They'd be like, well, hell yeah. Inject me with your dendrite nanobots.
I want to be part.
Yeah, and they made it try. And I kept on, because in the Borg game, they try to make you a Borg, right? And the whole premise is you're supposed to be resisting this shit, right? So you got the super sexy broad. She comes hovering in with no back and everything, right? And she like injects it. And she goes, "Now we'll make you part
it's
of the
like
Borg."
Super goth,
yeah, super uber goth, right? Industrial NN, right?
Yeah.
And I have no idea why I said NN twice there, but I meant plus plus. But I said NN.
Oh no.
Oh my god, I'm losing my mind. This will be what I talk about when I'm old. I'm going to be like rambling away. People come into my room, offer me applesauce, and I'll go halfway into a show. And it's a good day.
Oh, that's Mr. Kennedy down
he
at 225.
He's on a show.
He's on a show. I'm like tapping the toaster saying the levels are all wrong. Yeah, that'll be me.
Is
anyone out there? I hope you can hear me. I'm ready to do after now.
Got a good idea.
Oh, I got a really good idea. Nobody else in the old folks, I want to hear it. That'll be my life.
Someone give him some sedatives.
Yeah, somebody shoot that bastard. Dear Sean, you posed a question. This is the one I segued to. Malikan did the last one. We're moving.
Okay.
All right, we'll just forget it. The show's a wreck. We don't care. We're moving. Dear Sean, you posed a question during one of your recent broadcasts. Why would a one world government be a bad thing? Why would it be? It may not be. Einstein was in favor of it. Einstein liked it. Not a bad guy.
Yep.
In order to advance world peace, one reason would be that it would be a bad thing was that once you have one, it's much easier to censor or suppress information on the internet.
Definitely.
Which, you know, well, you know,
they control everything.
Sure, and it's already happening.
Yes.
You may not need a government to have a space program. SpaceX is a private company with a NASA as a customer. All right, so the privatization. This is the libertarian thing.
Yeah.
But I'm interested just on seeing how the technology develops and hope that it will benefit us at all or not just as shareholders or stakeholders. So the problem I have with corporations going to space is that the corporations are the god of the new age. They serve money, and when they serve money, there is no checks and balances.
They have ulterior motives.
Yeah, and they're psychotic, so let's not put psychos in space.
They're not doing it for space exploration. They're doing it for space exploitation.
Yeah, exactly. and that's what it's about. So, you know, but, you know, he goes on to say here, people like Elon Musk of SpaceX and Tesla Motors, who also a former owner and founder of PayPal, seem to be somewhat less myopic than other corporate moguls. Yes, but that's like individual. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't understand why you keep saying the one world government is inevitable. The only thing that will make a one world government a reality is global catastrophe. One example being of the Third World War. And a lot of people used to say stuff like this where, you know, they think that, to ally everyone, you have to have a common enemy. Not so much. I mean, often and, you know, slowly and often, you know, little and often. That's pretty much what it is. If you can, like, slowly make little changes over time, you can take a more, a traditional Chinese approach where you got the four-quarter game, right? You got to think, you know, 25 years down the road and the slowly eroding of rights, locking away like that. Yeah, if you want to get everybody, you know, over to your place on Saturday night, then, yeah, you want to have aliens attack. But if you got a little bit more time than that, you know, there's no reason why you can't, you know, spread that out a bit more. Mm-hmm. Greetings, Sean. I hope this email finds you well. This is another one on the one world government thing. On the question of the one world government, or its parent topic, the North American Union. This is Fat Ninja. I love Fat Ninja. I'd have to say that while I'm not opposed to either one, I feel that no current or past governmental system can make this work, and the basic guideline does not increase or decrease the suffering. So, can make this work using the basic guideline of does this increase or decrease suffering? That's my moral compass. So he says no. If a one world government will increase suffering. For those who I lost my place here. I fear any such attempt at the one world government will end up being much like the intro movie for the classic game Fallout. For those who haven't played it, it involves two power armored U.S. soldiers pacifying a Canadian city after his nation was annexed, and by pacifying, meaning blowing his brains out. That's pretty much it. Two armored U.S. soldiers pacifying a Canadian citizen after his nation was annexed. Now, not to be someone that simply curses the darkness, I think that maybe we should look at Robert Heinlein's book, For Us the Living, for a possible solution to the questions of government economics. Could use a bit of Starship Troopers thrown in there for flavor, and on my own spin to it, I'd like to see abuse of power made into one of the automatic capital defenses. Abuse of power must be another book title. At least as far as abuse of power that actually hurts someone, cops can fix tickets if they want. You know, I like, he was writing this while he was driving. Okay, so you got to give him a break here. Yeah. Anyway, I hope this email gets to you in some time for next week's show. And more importantly, it's actually usable. And as usual, thanks for all the cool media. And sorry about dragging this letter out. Fat Ninja, who I love. I love this guy.
Yeah.
He's driving his rocket rig across the desert. This was a guy, he made really, really long distance haul trips, and he would, like, tear across the night.
listening to After Now
and occasionally putting it on the CB and stuff like this.
Oh,
yeah,
that's awesome. Really?
Yeah, he's a crazy guy. I love the guy. Did people really corner you at, P.S., he says. Did people really corner you at DEF CON for the purpose of bugging you about After Now? Admittedly, I'm a real fan of it, but being that much of a dick about it, ..
It happens every time.
It happens every time. Every time, without fail, that I get nailed about After Now. And I know, I'm not really offended by it.
It's good. They enjoy it.
Yeah, no, and you take it for what it is. Yeah. I mean, who am I to be so arrogant to think that people, you know, blah, well, you know, and we will be giving you something.
I'm sure every director's, are you going to make a sequel? Or are you
Are you going to do more Aliens, James Cameron? No. Die. Yeah, drink your own vomit. Seriously, it's so bad. All right. Now, enough of that. Let's get into the news.
Okay.
Are you ready for this one? I like this story. In Wikipedia news.
Harping on Wikipedia again.
No, I'm not harping on Wikipedia. I'm not.
The den of pedophiles.
It is not the den of pedophiles. It's not. I never said it was. All I said was you should look up their definition of pedophile on Wikipedia, which I did the other day. It's gone through a few generations since the last time I looked at it. Oh, yeah. I guess, you know, people have listened to the broadcast because that is quite the entry now.
Yeah.
So the thing that gets me, though, is you can look up some topics and there's, like, relatively nothing written on it. But pedophilia? Oh, yeah. They got that nailed down. It's volumes written on pedophilia. Yeah. That's
a hot
topic.
Still say alternative lifestyle.
Here's the best one. Yeah. No, they've definitely shied away from that. They're like, this is what it is. We are not making a judgment. We are purveyors of knowledge.
Uh-huh. They've toned it down.
Here is the pro-pedophilia. Here is the anti-pedophilia.
Okay, they've separated.
Uh-huh. Yes, okay. They're very clever.
That's good.
They're not stupid.
No.
They're not stupid people. Okay, Wikipedia, guys. One American student major sent major corporations, governments, and even the Vatican on the defensive after coming up with Wikipedia Scanner, a software program that reveals who changed what Wikipedia
great.
Entries. Wikipedia.com is an online encyclopedia, which is kind of a website, that lets people, you know, write stories and makes it look like, you know, it's you know, somehow
the truth.
Solid. Yeah, it's the truth. And this is like the communal consciousness of, like, society now. People are like, if it's on Wikipedia, it's got to be true. The power of the printed word is frightening.
It's the last person's version of the truth.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's the last person's version of the truth. So among many revelations that they found on Wikipedia, okay, and this is not me, this is what they found, Microsoft tried to cover up the Xbox 360 failure rate. Apple edited Microsoft entries, adding more negative comments about their rival. Bill Gates' revenge, Microsoft edits Apple entries, adding more negative comments about its rival. The Vatican edits Irish Catholic politician Jerry Adams' page. Yeah, I was involved in some other stuff, too. The 9/11 Wikipedia article, the NRA added that the Iraq was involved in 9/11.
Oh, wow.
Exxon Mobil edits spillage and ecosystem destruction from oil spillage articles.
Wow.
The FBI's in there. Chevron. Scientology removes criticism and negative articles from the Scientology page.
That's totally not surprising.
Not surprising at all. Al Jazeera.
That would be a given.
Yeah. Al Jazeera TV station adds, Al Jazeera said that the bombing in Iraq was as bad as the Jewish Holocaust. Which that's that's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah,
I mean, how do you measure suffering? But no,
we put it on the scale.
Not so much. Dell Computers deletes negative comments. MySpace removes paragraph that their website was hacked.
Uh-huh. Oh wow!
Dog Breeding Association deletes whole paragraphs about fatal attacks on dogs by dogs on humans.
Oh wow!
Yeah, interesting.
That is interesting stuff.
So, and it goes on, and you get the scanners available.
That's a neat program.
Yeah, so I'd be interested. I haven't downloaded and looked at the pedophilia section. You know, but there seems to be a lot of activity in that particular corner of Wikipedia. You know.
So you can see who's doing it.
Yeah, and I'm not the first guy to say this. There's other people who said that there's, you know, organizations like NAMBLA and people who should shoot themselves who you know, go and they edit these articles on the pedophile page. I don't, you know, whatever. I think it's funny. And just to catch everybody up, I had a Wikipedia article that I did not write that was on the site.
It's very funny.
I showed up and tried to delete it because I was getting back into the army.
So ironic.
And man, did I get smacked.
Don't touch that.
I got threatened with legal action and vandalism and like, you know, excommunication and you name it. Oh, yeah, they were going to call the hell on me, right? So I'm like, whatever, man. Okay,
leave
you know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I fucked with your website. Yeah. I'll leave you alone. Bye-bye, right? And then, you know, a little while later, and I made the observation about the pedophilia thing, and surprisingly, my entry gets deleted, even though I tried to delete it myself a while ago.
So there you go. Now you know how to do it.
And then the fans go, and they start, and there's this big war started about it. I mean, it's unbelievable. Forums are amazing.
Yeah.
You know, how things can get so twisted. But anyway, I digress. But I think that, I'm like, I know, that was funny. In Cyberpunk, it's my show. I'm allowed to, you know, have personally subjugated vendettas. No,
it's fun.
Well, it's not just one guy, right? I mean, the people who are involved with Wikipedia now are probably not even the same people who were involved like 5 years ago. Or when did they come out? A year ago?
Idea.
6 months ago? How long have they been around?
Years ago.
A lot. Okay, ready for this one?
Sure.
In Cyberpunk news from Wyandi, they sent me this one here. In Seoul, Korea, Samsung SDI is showcasing a portable supply fuel cell.
Cool.
Which is pretty small, okay? Like, I don't have a picture of it here with me, but it's take your hard drive there, cut it in half, okay?
That's pretty small.
That's how small it is. Hooks into the back of your laptop and gives you a month worth of power.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Runs on nuclear fusion.
A fuel cell. It says here, Samsung's SDI is showcasing a portable power supply fuel cell, the company showroom, SDM, which enables you to use your notebook PC for up to a month.
That's amazing.
Yes.
That's...
Yeah. Which is also reminds me of the news story. Did you ever hear about the radioactive Boy Scout? I got a book about this guy. He's this dude.
He's this dude
who started building a nuclear reactor in his backyard and stuff like that.
Heard of that.
And, well, he's back in the news because I guess he was stealing nuclear parts again.
He's like a kid.
Yeah, but
young
now
guy.
He's a teenager, and you see a picture of him. They got his mugshot, and he's totally covered with, like, radiation sores and shit like that. It's like he's totally, he's like a Batman supervillain. He's like Mr. Mutant guy. I'm like, wow, this guy's got the making. He's like trying to build nuclear reactors.
Wow.
He's a supervillain.
Yeah.
Dude's awesome. We need more guys like that. In war news. Now, normally I don't repeat on the war, you know, because, I mean, it's just war, and it doesn't really change. War, it's shitty.
All the time.
But this just backs up my original claim, you know, when I make my little prophecies. And, you know, here it is. Repeated and ever longer war zone tours are putting an increased pressure on military families, the Army said Thursday, helping push soldier suicides to a record rate. There were 99 Army suicides last year, nearly half of them soldiers who hadn't reached their 25th birthday. About a third of them are serving in Iraq or Afghanistan. Colonel Elspeth Ritchie, psychiatry consultant to the Army Surgeon General, told a Pentagon press conference that the primary reason for suicide is failed intimate relationships or failed marriages. That's why these kids are doing themselves in. She said that although the military is worried about the stress caused by replete deployments and tours of duty that have stretched out to 15 months, it has not found a direct relationship between suicide and combat or deployments. Yeah, that's horseshit. You know, it makes me really angry.
That they don't have something in place to help these guys out.
You know, and the funny thing is that I'm a big fan of the military. People know this. I enjoy the military. What I don't like is I don't like bureaucratic bullshit, okay? And what's happened is that the bureaucrats have taken over the Army. Because it's a safety mechanism so that you can have an army that's really, really awesome, but then you kind of wind up living in this crazy sort of dictatorship because that engine, you know, the same way you'd think of it, a video game engine, the engine that is military structure can go awry and be exploited very easily because it's kind of almost like a cult, and there's a lot of stuff that can be done there. But, I mean, it's a different sort of society, and you know what? There's only certain things you can do. If you've got people who are in the Army and they want to look into this, you need to start being accountable for your own mind, essentially. So
yeah,
books,
if they're not going to look after you.
Yeah, you've got to make sure that your brain is in the right headspace and timing for that. If you are in a relationship and you cannot be away from your spouse, you should not be in the Army. And I tell a lot of young kids who got nothing, they're not attached to nothing, you know what I mean? And they're like, I don't know what to do. I want to get somewhere, go somewhere, but all I can get is a Taco Time job. Well, if your options are A, crime, B, Taco Time, then C, maybe, you know, you should look at the Air Force. You know what I mean? Like, that might be something that you can get some trades, blah, 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 improve on your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, you have to understand the certain mindset and the operating system that the Army installs in you.
It changes you on
a very fundamental level. So, I mean, you want to look at books like On Killing by Dave Grossman. Leadership and Training for the Fight is another good one. The name guy wrote it escapes me, but it's called Leadership and Training for the Fight. Very good books. So you know what you're getting into. Grossman's other book on combat I didn't like so much because I thought it really had an agenda. But, like, huge. Like,
yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, he had a prayer for the crusader in the back of the
okay.
So it was pretty...
a lot of religion into it.
There's a lot of political stuff in there, but, I mean, yeah. You know, that's to be understood. I mean, it's his book.
He can write what he wants.
No problem. In sneakers news, this got sent to me by Wyandi here.
Mm-hmm.
The University of Michigan scientists have discovered a breakthrough way to utilize light in cryptography. The new technique can crack even complex codes in a matter of seconds. Scientists believe this technique offers much advancement over current solutions and could serve to foil national and personal security threats if employed. Mm-hmm. Now, this is where things... And you're like, okay, so they got a new code break.
Yeah.
Okay, now... Like, let me know when you get lost. The process involves extremely short pulses of coherent light being emitted and interacting with something called quantum dots. Quantum dots are the mystic pieces of science fluff to most people as they're difficult to understand. Basically, they are small structures that are sensitive to small changes. Okay. By adjusting the frequencies and phase shifting the light in more of a more complex system, the beam itself forms a kind of optical network which compute abilities as it passes by these quantum dots.
Wow. As long as they know what they're doing.
Well, no, at this point I kind of stop and I look at this and I say, "Hold it. Cut the shit here." Okay, you can do a better job of explaining it than that. Okay.
Yeah.
Quantum physics and quantum math, to me, has anybody actually made anything with this stuff? Like, where's my quantum mechanics engine? Where's my quantum physics slide projector?
Like, it's all theory.
Is this all just like some scary ass math theory where your nerd math has to be this mighty in order to step into the kung fu arena, or what? Because if you can't do anything practical with this stuff, then you know. I mean, if you think that down the road it might give you time travel, okay, great. You know, keep chasing it. But your science should produce some fruits. So does anybody out there know what the hell quantum physics
gives
us?
I've heard it explained as, like, you can't really explain it. Like, you can't
wrap
your mind around it.
Oh, yeah, it's so advanced. It's Lovecraftian science. You'll go mad. No,
that's crazy.
That is bunk.
Because there's nothing relatable to the real world.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like coffee shop bullshit, then. If you cannot nail this stuff down, okay? Don't come to me and call it science. Call it quantum theory or quantum whatever. I mean, Schrodinger's cats or whatever the hell that is, you know? I don't know. I'm not saying it's bad.
Yep.
I'm not saying it. I'm not calling it down. There's people out there right now. They're salivating. You're going to kill. I'm just saying I don't really understand it because it has been explained to me properly, and I find that I'm not dumb.
And yeah, that probably could be explained better.
Oh, yeah. And they go on and they start busting
the
into
dots.
Like some crazy stuff.
We're going to shine the light into the dots.
Talking about 1/1,000,000th of a watt compelling the Ryan Reese, you know, and like, whatever, dude. You know, like, if you're going to start talking about, you know, we can break any crypto ever with a sneakers device, you know, which they give this crazy sign, might be bullshit, you know, not to call it bullshit on quantum mechanics.
Well, maybe they can break stuff that's available now,
have
but
they
then
done
they
it?
Just step it up.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, can we use them for an encryption key? We'll see. But this is what I was talking about for your wife that I was saying that would be really cool. Is in Mad Scientist news.
Yes.
I got some Mad Scientist news. Sent in by Grayscale, which is cool. For the first time, certain scientists have completely transformed a species of bacteria into another species by transplanting its complete set of DNA.
Oh.
That's what they've said. The achievement marks a significant step towards the construction of synthetic life, which includes Daleks. No, I made that up.
Those are robots.
Yeah, I know. they're an alien inside there. There's a little guy inside there.
Going pulling wires and like.
I think so, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think there's he's like a brain or something. I'm not sure if the Daleks are purely robots. I think they. Oh, god damn.
Doctor Who people are going to be on you.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I know Davros was the leader of the Daleks. He was like he was part human, but I think that there's supposed to actually be some kind of genetic material in there that is
leader of Daleks.
Davros is the leader of the Daleks.
Okay.
Yeah.
But is he a robot?
No, he's a cyborg technically.
Oh, I totally spelled it wrong.
Yeah. Damn. Anyway, we just degenerated this amazing science article into Doctor Who.
Okay, continue on.
So
they transplanted
light, with applications which include the production of clean fuel in as little as a decade. apparently. Scientists.
Oh, because they can make bacteria that eats
that's
oil.
Why,
and
that's why they're giving this major play. It's because the scientist who did it was a woman. I'm getting looks. I'm getting looks over here. Okay, I did that on purpose just to piss off the girls.
It's a grotesque mutated organism integrated with a tank-like mechanical casing.
Yeah.
So,
jeez.
Saved yourself there.
Yeah. And that's why there are more women scientists because the men are more concerned with imaginary Daleks.
There's a
picture of a Dalek killing somebody? Oh, he's killing a British soldier! You can tell because of his jump smock. Okay. Scientists Carol Latigue and colleagues from the J. Craig Venture Institute in Rockville, Maryland have published their results in a recent issue of Science. In addition to being a proof-of-concept experiment, the researchers hope that genomes transplantation will enable the production of synthetic microbes for green energy sources, pharmaceuticals, and chemical textiles.
Mm.
So, it also, let's talk about weaponizing that stuff. If you can weaponize that,
it's all over.
It's
unleashed.
I don't know.
Eats all the crops in the territory.
But I saw that there, and I'm thinking, you know, we cater to a lot of science geeks in this show. You know,
yes.
And
no, that's really interesting.
It is. It's neat stuff. I mean, you know, so I wanted to try to get a decent spectrum, you know, this time on science that's out there. And I think, honestly, we don't talk enough about that.
Science, sizing.
Well, I mean,
not enough. No.
Why is Newsreel a successful show? Is it? I mean, really? I think the reason why it is successful is my amazing good looks.
Definitely. That's why you're on the radio.
Yeah, that's why I'm on the radio. And it's, you know, but you look at it and you think, you know, why do people listen to Newsreel? Okay, there's other shows out there. But I think it's because we're raw. We give people raw data.
You don't hear anywhere else. It's interesting.
You don't get it anywhere else. You do.
You can. Well, you got it somewhere.
I got it from the internet, so that means you got to be able to get it from somewhere.
So it's a collection of stuff you like, and it happens to, you know, attract a certain crowd. And they like it too, the same stories. Maybe not. Maybe they don't even like the stories.
I don't know.
Maybe they like your
lately,
energy.
Lately I've been looking at stuff, and usually the criteria for it to be on Newsreel was cyberpunk. You know what I mean? Like,
which encompasses a lot of cool stuff.
Well, yeah. Which is kind of becoming this forgotten phrase now, and a lot of people are kind of losing what, you know, but there's more cyberpunk stories happening every day now.
Because we're here now.
We're
in the future.
It's like, oh, yeah.
We're in the future.
It's like, oh, yeah, there's another thing I read about. You know what I mean? And there's such crazy shit that's happening all over the place. And this makes me think about today's Daily Hack, which is a magazine that a buddy of mine was involved with. CyberTech's pretty involved with these guys. And I know that Anki was involved with these guys.
Okay.
And like today on the show, I noticed that they got these robots. They got, you know, taser ammunition for shotguns now where they can shoot you with a taser. And, you know, it's a matter of time, you know.
Before they integrate everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, if I was a parent, which I'm not, I would be really pushing my kids into the Lego. Build and create. And then from there, of course, you know, just because I'm, you know, into Armies of Evil robots and stuff like that, I would want to have them, you know, making robots. And then from there, you'd get away from the Lego and use different building blocks and
that's
wood.
Right.
And then
more complex.
By the age of 12, you know, they're kicked out of school because they've, you know, the bully beat them up and he made a robot that killed them or something. You know, Columbine Robot Massacre or something. But, you know, this is...
Go kill Greg.
Yeah, go kill Greg. it's good stuff. But Gipcat sent me this link about paint on solar panels.
Oh.
Now, this is kind of neat. Cheap, printable, or paintable solar panels. Researchers at NJIT, New Jersey Institute of Technology, have developed a way to develop solar cells from polymers. The process is simple. He said the lead researcher and author of Somanath Miltra, PhD, professor and acting chair of the NJIT's Department of Chemistry and Environmental Sciences. Someday, homeowners will be able to print sheets of these solar cells with inexpensive home-based inkjet printers.
Oh,
consumers can slap them and finish product up on the wall, roof, or billboard, and you make their own power station.
That's great.
It's a very, very cool. Larry Niven, talking about the, you know, the whole cyberpunk nation. In 1995, he talked about something similar to this, and he called it Black Power. Which is, you know, something you could print out and it would absorb light. Mm. And it was solar power. And now, he thought it up, which really didn't think it up. What he did was he took it and he made, like, an educated guess.
Well, science fiction writers are really good at that.
Yeah.
They're taking things that exist or that on the edge of
this
becoming...
is why I don't really respect science fiction writers. This is a woo, now you're throwing down. No, that's totally a lie. I respect science. I wrote after now. Give me a break.
Exactly. I was like, what the hell?
I usually like, I like authors who go completely off into the realm of their own world. Like people who make a totally alternate reality with their own physics and rules that apply.
Okay.
So that, you know...
Like, totally different. Like, go...
Yeah, like Farscape levels
really
of weirdness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which, did you ever watch that?
Which one?
Farscape.
No, I can't... I explained to you on the phone. I just can't do that. With huge shows that have already started, like, are years ahead, and it's like, well, it's a really good show. It's into its 10th season. So if I start watching the show and I like it, I have to buy 10 DVDs and sit down for 2 months straight...
Because,
and watch these because I'll like it. I know I'll like it.
Well, yeah, you'll be obsessed and compulsive about the whole thing.
Because that's how I am.
Well, I mean, at least you got your whole retirement planned out.
I know. That's true. I could just make a list.
We should.
As soon as I hit 60.
Or
whenever, 50.
You could start like the Senior Citizens Library. You know, you could have like the Recommended Media Old Folks Home.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that'd be what it is. People,
here's the books.
Wheel them up. We put the little headset on them. You know, put
poke
them
when they fall asleep.
Put them on, under tents that are temporarily set up in covered areas and have like IV bags all hooked into their arms and you have the old people there.
Put on the, you know, the AV helmets.
Yeah, we'll make them, we'll put little piezoelectric generators underneath their wheels so as they shift back and forth in their chair, it like powers the whole thing.
And if they're outdoors, you paint on some.
Yeah, you paint on them, and they're like, and that'll be how old people spend their lives. You know? This is...
One beep for yes, two for no.
You know, I'm not a family-oriented person myself, okay? Not really into the family thing. But you gotta admit that the whole, like, you know, Japanese sort of robots looking after people thing...
Creepy.
It's a little bit creepy. All right.
Very.
It's a little bit Matrix for me.
And it's there. It's happening.
It's happening right now. You know, maybe the guys living in the jungles aren't so screwed up. You know, maybe there's something to community. You know?
Yeah.
You know, and we're a community.
Better than robots, I would think.
Well, no. I'm all right with robots. Okay. I don't really care who cleans the pool as long as the pool gets clean. You know,
well, yeah.
I think that
but for interpersonal stuff,
I think it's like, for example, this is a good story. There is a dude. Okay, my neighbor is a rich dude. I've got this rich dude, nice guy, really nice guy, rich dude. And I guess this church group or whatever sponsored these refugees from Burma.
Okay,
and these guys have lived in a refugee camp for the last 18 years. Like they've never been in, like they've never seen a refrigerator before. They don't understand what power is. They had to be taught what a phone was and what the concept of a phone is. Like, this is really, really brutal stuff.
Yeah.
So the government brought them up here, housed them for like 3 weeks, took them into deep Surrey, and let them go. And, like, with no housing or nothing. And I'm like, wow. These are people who, you know, never saw cars before. Like, this is pretty brutal stuff.
Yeah.
So
what are they thinking?
Well, some churches took them in, and they're trying to sort these people out.
They'll be fine.
You know, so the churches took them in, and one of these dudes, I mean, he doesn't speak any English, and he's got them working in around his house because he's got this huge house. He's a rich dude. Right?
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of yard work needs to be done. So he's hired one of these cats.
Good.
For above minimum wage. Well above minimum wage, I should say. God love him. You know, he's paying him a decent wage.
Yep.
And the brother's working. I mean, he's balls to the wall. Like, he's doing the job, okay? So that's cool.
Yep.
But I'm looking at a lot of the stuff that these guys are doing, and I'm looking at this person, you know, whose name I can't even pronounce.
He's got clicks and, you know, and
yeah, he's, you know, wild guy.
Letters tough, that we don't have.
Far tougher man than I am, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, what an amazing waste to have a person doing this. I mean, this person could be educated, you know, to not just be menial labor. I mean, he's an amazing worker. He's amazing labor, but I'm sure he could, you know, do anything. Like, this guy could, like, you know...
Better
like,
ways he could be...
He could engineer stuff, you know? I mean, if you gave
he
him...
He knows the potential.
Yeah, I mean, like, where does it end? So, I'd rather... That's getting back to the whole show thing. You know, that's one of the reasons why I'd like to get more into that. But I don't know how to do it and still keep it cool and kind of crazy and loose. You know?
Getting into robotics?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I was talking about that. I'm crazy.
You just got to do it. That's how anything works. You just got to... Do it.
But, yeah, so one of the things that I really like, more Recomedia, is Make Magazine. Have you ever actually looked at the magazine, the printed magazine of Make?
No. I know Derek's talked about it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I've never actually looked at it.
It's pretty wild stuff. It's
is it
pretty
like
wild
advanced,
stuff.
Or is it like
I can pick it up, build stuff, and if I can pick it up, build stuff, I'm pretty kind of the dipstick. You know, that's what Sean is. Sean's the dipstick who tests knowledge of the internet, you know. And I think it's good.
It's like an inventor's magazine almost.
It's more like a how-to projects thing. And like,
cool.
Hey, you want to build your own? It's like Popular Mechanics for people who are serious.
Nice.
You know what I mean? And it's not just to sell you stuff. So, and you can get it online. And I think it's quarterly. It was quarterly a little while ago.
So they probably got some of their articles online that you could check out.
Oh, yeah. No, they got a huge, huge things about projects. It's like Hackaday. Only like really hardcore. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can build like whatever you want. You can build like crazy, crazy stuff.
Nice.
So if you've got the time, you know, like if you wound up in a wheelchair or something like that, you had some time to kill. Oh man, you know, a workbench and a Make subscription, an online feed, and a mail order.
We'll let you loose,
baby. Yeah, you'd be you are a CNC machine. Like, you can build high tech electronic components. It'd be really, really cool.
It's probably all really cool stuff too. It's not like
Very cool. Yeah,
here's a birdhouse.
Yeah, you know, so I enjoy Make quite a bit. But that's it. That's all I got for you this week. But don't worry, we'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you care, you can donate to the show. And if you can't donate, you can distribute the show. But if you can donate, please go to the Dark Atlas website, click on the Donate tab on the top right, HauntLink, or send a cleverly disguised envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 12156 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. No digital baptisms this week, but I do want to thank the Army Flying Monkeys and their assistance in gathering data. If you have information that you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@rantradio.com. And I really do check that, by the way. People are like, does Sean actually get those? Yes. Yes, I do. If you like the music in the background, we're going to be throwing some infected mushroom in behind that, I guess. That'll
sure.
be okay.
That sounds good.
And, you know, because I'm back on the psytrance. I'm really digging on that. And remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we are at each other's throats. So you got anything else, man?
Oh, your next quest, Internet.
Oh, yeah, your next quest. Thank you, Internet. Thank you, server, for providing. But what is it that you need?
I need the Forgotten Rebels' first EP tape. That was put out in 1977.
Good God, aren't you involved with the Forgotten Rebels?
Yeah, nobody has a copy. There's only 100 made.
Good God!
It's impossible.
All right, hang on now.
It's called Burn the Flag.
Okay, so we've gotten the impossible movie. Now you've got
the
impossible
this
tape. This is the holy...
It's not a copy of the tape. I have a copy of it. Actual
so you're
cassette.
Oh, well, that's... No.
You know,
that's a physical item. You can't ask server for physical stuff. I mean, that's... Yeah, sorry. Sorry. But I'll keep an eye out for it if I happen to come across it in some garage sale or something.
You might.
Well, why? Does everyone know where they are?
No.
They're unaccounted for or whatever? They're probably smashed on the street somewhere.
Probably gone.
Probably destroyed by...
Like, no, you won't find it.
All right. Well, you know, something to think about. I mean, I think you just say that to quell the passions within yourself, but whatever.
Yes.
All right, so until you find that Forgotten Rebels tape...
We won't be broadcasting.
Which won't be broadcasting.
Just
kidding. Yeah, oh yeah. Jerry Falwell, God will call me home unless I get my Forgotten Rebels tape. So until next time, that is what server said. End of line.
Round, round, get around. I get around.
Yeah,
get around, round, round. I get around.
I get around.
Never been beat, and we've never missed yet with the girls we meet.